Good evening and welcome back together tonight as we join to think about and close out our Resurrection Sunday. I hope that you have had a good day, a pleasant day with family, but more than that, I hope you have had a day of rejoicing and praise. That as we came together this morning and worshiped our God, spoke of His resurrection, learned of His suffering and His sacrifice for us, that we rejoice in the work of the gospel in our lives. And so I hope that you have had a great day. Whatever you've been doing, if you were able to rest today or spend a little bit of time outside or spend time with family around a dinner table, rejoicing and discussing the pleasures that we have in a risen Savior. And I hope that you have had a great resurrection, a great Easter Sunday. And I'm praying for you. I miss you. Today we came in and did a little bit of our live stream this morning, our live stream fellowship time. And I'm glad that many of you were able to take part in that. A little jumpy, I heard, for some people in different locations. But those of you that were able to join with us were excited and thrilled that even in spite of not being able to be together in person, we can come together in this way. Can you imagine trying to go about this life in this way? How circumstances have come into our lives, being separated from each other with no way at all really to communicate on a regular basis. And so I'm thankful that God has given us this opportunity. I'm thankful that God has given us the means to be able to do this, and praising the Lord for it. I want to update you about a couple things, and then we're going to look at God's Word. If you have your Bible, look at Psalm 16 this evening. And we're going to be looking at a psalm that talks about and prophesies some of the resurrection to come, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and talk about the work that He did and that God did in Him as He died on the cross and was buried and rose from the dead. Our church, these last few weeks, of course, we've been meeting in this way. I can't believe that it has been about a month, I believe, of services that we have not been able to be together. But our response as a church has been good. Many of our church members have been checking up on, corresponding, calling other church members that maybe can't get out or haven't been able to connect with us. And so we're doing our best to stay connected and engaged as a church. God created us not to live alone permanently in our Christian lives. And so I'm thankful that we've been able to come together and encourage each other in whatever way that we can. Let me just update you about a couple things on our website or online, some things that we're going to be sending. This week you're going to get a letter from us as a church, from me as the pastor, kind of updating you on where we are and how things stand for the next month or so. I'm going to be meeting with our staff on Tuesday morning to discuss kind of how we are moving forward for the next few weeks. And then you're going to get a letter talking a little bit about that, talking about ways that you can be involved. We're going to try to even branch out more and engage people more on a regular basis. We have people coming in that are teaching children's lessons. One of those children's lessons posted today at lbcrichmond.com/kids. And even if you're not a kid, you can go on and watch. Drew Hickson teaches the lesson for us, and so we're excited about that. There's other resources there. We have our watch page, the prayer page. But we're going to engage in several different other ways. We know that several of our members are not able to watch online on a regular basis, but are able to watch on DVD. Now, our equipment that we have here, we did not have a DVD drive that we could burn DVDs from, but we have been able to get one of those, and it took a little while ordering one, and with non-essential things being delayed at the moment. So we're going to start trying to burn some of our services onto DVD. We're going to be mailing some of those, delivering some of those to some of the people that cannot watch us online on a regular basis. So if you know someone that needs that, or they don't even have to be a member of our church, someone that would like that, then please let us know, and we will add them to our list and try to connect with them that way. And we're going to be updating some church software this week, some church management software, where we're going to be plugging kind of everybody's name. We have some very general church management right now. But being able to kind of put everybody into a list and being able to email everyone as quickly as we can. We can even text people from the software, and then we can, of course, send letters out to those that don't receive or can't receive either one of those. And so if you would like to be added to that, we have a good number of people that we already have that information on. We have emails, we have cell phone numbers. So we're going to be putting all those things together and then sending out things like our weekly bulletin, our prayer bulletin, prayer updates, what we would put out as our normal Sunday bulletin. We're going to put all those things out through email and then post some of them to the website. But we're going to be emailing those too, sending you updates by text about our church as we eventually, hopefully, get to meet together again soon. And so we want to send you a lot of those things by that way. And then we'll also send letters to those that can't receive it. So if that's the case and you'd like to receive those, a lot of people, we already have your information. But just to make sure, if you want, you can email your information, your name, your updated address, your updated email address, and a cell phone number that can receive text messages, or a house number that we can call you on. If you would like, you can email those to office@lbcrichmond.com. Again, we have a lot of people's information already, but if you want to email, that would make sure that you are definitely added to that list. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be able to communicate in an even better way. So that's a little bit about what's going on in our church. That's sort of our announcement time for the service today. And so if you would take your Bible and look at Psalm 16, we're going to do a short devotion tonight, still reflecting on the resurrected Savior that we serve and that we worship. But we're going to do so out of the book of Psalms. On Sunday evenings, we've been taking some different Psalms and studying them in a devotional type of format. And so we're going to do that again this evening. So look at Psalm 16. Let's read the Psalm together, and then we will mark a few things and note a few things and rejoice in the fact that we serve a risen Savior. Psalm 16, verse number 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, as we enter your word one more time today, may we find comfort and rest and refuge and confidence in the fact that we do not serve and dwell about and worship a book. We do not dwell on or worship or serve a thought process or even a belief system. We worship a risen Savior who has given us the living Word of God, and we can learn from it and grow in it. Help us to do that tonight as a church, though we are apart physically. Bind us spiritually and help us to grow in you. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. As you look there at Psalm 16, my thoughts went to this particular psalm this evening because of one particular verse, and we'll get to that in just a moment, verse number 10. But I want to draw our attention to several different things about this psalm. It says it's from David. David is the writer here, and he's writing about the God in whom he trusts. And so let's look at these things together. He starts off with this psalm as a petition and a praise. A petition meaning a request, like a prayer request would be, and then a praise or a declaration of his faith through that petition. Look at verse number 1. preserve me, O God. If you were to look up definition there, or the thought with it, means watch over me, protect me, preserve me. Watch over me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Notice he does two things. He prays to the Lord and says, God, watch me, preserve me. But then he makes a declaration of his faith. He says, because I put my faith and my trust in you. And what a great picture of how we should pray. Sometimes we come to the Lord with maybe petitions only. Sometimes we come to the Lord and we treat him as sort of just a listening ear, or we treat him only as someone who's there to solve our problems. And we bring these petitions, but notice he anchors his petition, he anchors his request in something that he knows to be true about his God, in the faith that he places in his God. And what a great example for us as we pray, that anything that we ask of God, we should be able to anchor to what we know is true of our God. Here he says, watch over me, because in you I put my trust. Who is God for you? I want to ask you that question as we look at this text tonight. For David, he says, in you, you are the one that I put my trust in. And I wonder tonight, who is God for you? As we mentioned, is God just simply the listening ear? Is he simply the one that the genie in the bottle that we call on when we have a need or a desire or a want? Or is he your God personally that you walk in relationship with each and every day, the God in whom you place your trust? And then David tells us some other things about this God in whom he trusts. Notice in verse 2, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. He said, my goodness is nothing without you. It doesn't matter what I do, it doesn't matter how I serve or how righteous I think I am. My goodness is nothing without you. I can only be good through my relationship with God. I only have goodness through my relationship with God. He says in the middle of verse 2, thou art my Lord, and without you I can do nothing. Verse 3, he talks about the sweetness of God's people. He says, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Now, David is not saying all my delight is only in God's people. I only delight in being around God's people. Conveniently, that works with us tonight. It's not just about being around God's people physically, or else we'd be struggling right now. But he's giving a picture. He's saying, I don't find delight. I don't find sweetness. I don't find good things. I am not refreshed by those that do not believe in God, by those that are not found in the gospel. And the same should be true of our lives. We can be in the world. We can minister to the world. We can love those that are around us. We can love our neighbor, and we can love our community. But we cannot be built up and refreshed by those outside of God and God's word. God alone encourages. And so God, and he uses his people to encourage. He says, in whom is all my delight. Do you delight in God's people? It says in verse 4, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. He says, without God, you are hopeless. Your offerings are not accepted. Their names. He says, you are hopeless unless you trust and believe in the one true God. Verse number 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. You uphold, or you guide my direction. You are mine inheritance. He says, my life is not about what I get from the Lord. I get the Lord. That is what he is to me. He is my delight. He is the one I put my trust in. He is the one in whom I trust his sovereignty and his power. He says, it's not that I have a relationship with God so that I get things from God, or so that God fixes me, or so that my life is good because of God. God himself is my inheritance. And aren't you glad that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, we receive good things. Yes, our life can be blessed. Yes, we get eternal life, but we receive a relationship with God himself. He says, this is what I receive. This is my inheritance. Then verse 6, he says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Now, this may not understand exactly what he means, the lines. Well, the word that he uses there for lines is sort of what we would use our word for boundary or borders, or like a property line. And what is he saying? Because I trust in God, my property lines fall in pleasant places. I have a lot of property. And this is a phrase that may have been used more in David's time. It was something that they would have been familiar with. They would set these lines by stones and they would lay them out to mark the borders between lands. And it could give a picture of my line has fallen to where it includes the good land. It includes more land. It includes bountiful land. But David here, I do not believe, is talking physically about physical land and physical property lines. Because the word that he uses there for pleasant places literally means pleasures. He says, my lines have fallen to me in places of pleasure. And so when he speaks about, he just talked about the Lord. He said, the Lord himself is my inheritance. And in having the Lord and in my relationship with the Lord, what I have gained is pleasure for me. The things that I do get from my relationship with God are my pleasure. He says, yea, I have a goodly heritage or inheritance. And though it is good to have a godly physical heritage from parents and grandparents or mentors and those that pass on, David here is saying directly from God, God has given me good and great promises. And in him, I find my trust and faith. And in him, I find pleasures forevermore. Look at verse number 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also shall instruct me in the night seasons. Verse number 7. So far he's told us that God is our refuge. He has said God is my treasure. He has said that God is sovereign and that he is in control and that that is the one that he places his trust. And now in verse 7 he says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. He is my teacher. He is my guide. Now, this is not just simply an add-on to the rest of the chapter or to a list of names about God. It kind of colors and fills in all that David has described so far. I place my trust in you because you are my counsel and guide. You are my treasure. You have guided me to good and pleasant things because of your counsel, because you have instructed me in what I should desire and not desire. I find that you are sovereign, and in your sovereignty and in your power and in your control of all the earth, I find that I can trust you because you are a good guide, because you are a counselor. It would be one thing if God had all the knowledge. He is omniscient. He knows all things. It'd be great just to know that about God, but he has communicated those things to us too. It's not just that God has taught us that he's wise. He has taught us that he is wise. And then he has given us wisdom. He has declared himself to us through his word. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins, my heart, my insides, as he would say, also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Now notice, David kind of changes where he's going, his direction. So far, he's just sort of made this petition and this praise. This is what God is. This is what God is to me. God is my treasure. God is my refuge in whom I trust. God is my counsel. He is my guide. But now he makes this declaration. He kind of changes tone in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Isn't it great this evening that no matter what changes in this world and how quickly it changes, we don't have to be moved because God is not moved. Verse number 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Think about these last two verses. God is with me, so I'm not going to be moved. My heart is glad and I rejoice. My flesh even is resting in hope. Even physically, I have hope, David says. How? In God and God alone. And that leads us to the key verse of the chapter. Look at verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, it's interesting how he phrases this here. It's great to know that death is not the end of our relationship with God. Death does not end our walk with God here on this earth, and then we are done with our relationship with him. That relationship is eternal. Jesus Christ is the one of whom he's speaking here in verse number 10. Notice he says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. You may think, well, is he talking here about David himself? Is he saying David's not going to be left or abandoned? David is not going to see corruption. I think we can look at Acts chapter 2 for the answer to that. When Peter preaches, after Jesus has been raised from the dead and Peter's faith has been increased, Peter actually references this portion of Scripture in Acts chapter 2 in verse number 25. He says, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved." Recognize that? We just read it. He's quoting Psalm 16. "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Then notice, here's what Peter says. Here's interpretation of this, and it is in Scripture for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 29, speaking about Psalm 16, he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." It seems like Peter is saying, let's tear down Psalm 16. Remember, David said, "You're not going to leave my soul in hell. My flesh will not see corruption. And because of that, I rejoice in the Lord." But Peter says there's something more to this. He says, "We know that David is dead. We can take you to his grave. We can show you his bones. We can show you that he is corrupted, that he has fallen apart, that his flesh has decayed. We can show you those things." But is David arguing with Psalm 16? No, he's telling us something deeper. Look at verse number 30. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up. Wherefore we all are witnesses." Notice what it says again in verse 31. "Seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." So what is Peter teaching us about Psalm 16? He is telling us that this is not directly about David's physical body. It is about the coming Messiah. It is about Jesus Christ. What does it say about Jesus Christ? "For thou wilt not leave his soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Though Jesus went to the cross, though Jesus suffered and he died and experienced the shame and pain of hell for our sins, though he was dead, though he was buried, though he sat in a tomb or laid in a tomb, bound by those that loved him, his body, it says, did not decay. He did not see corruption. His soul was not left in hell. In other words, God did not abandon him forever. Though he turned his back, though he poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ, as we have celebrated on this Resurrection Sunday, though Jesus bore the payment for our sin, Jesus was not abandoned by God, and Jesus' body never decayed and never corrupted because he was perfect and sinless. Wrote this way: before death could digest and turn Jesus into the dust, Jesus himself killed death in itself. Though he was dead, he swallowed up death itself. Though he was dead, he conquered the grave. And this verse tells us, and it phrases it beautifully, he was not abandoned, and he did not corrupt even one little bit. His flesh did not see corruption. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And we rejoice with Psalm 16 this evening, as it says, "Thou wilt not leave thy soul in hell, neither will the Holy One see corruption." Here is the promise of God that we have through Christ in belief and faith on this one that is resurrected. God did not abandon Christ, and Christ was not corrupted eternally in his death. God will not abandon us, neither will we see corruption spiritually and eternally, because Jesus has given to us everlasting and eternal life. And so David says, "I take refuge in God. God is my treasure. God is sovereign. He is my counselor and guide, and he has guided me to understand he will never abandon me, just like he did not abandon his son." Then through Jesus Christ, this Holy One that did not see corruption, we have been saved to everlasting life. And with all of those things in mind, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Is he speaking of riches and stuff and supplies and wealth and possessions? No, at your right hand are pleasures. What pleasures? The pleasures of God. The pleasures of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So tonight, as we read through and we study Psalm 16, we can rejoice in the resurrection that David spoke of long before it happened and say, God will not abandon us. We will not be corrupted because of the life that we have in Christ. Therefore, we can trust him because he is our refuge. We can treasure him because he is the riches of our inheritance. God has given us himself, so we treasure him. Do you take refuge in God today? Do you treasure God today? Do you trust his sovereign grace, and do you trust his sovereign will in your life, his power over the earth? Do you trust him as a counselor? Do you follow your God? Do you trust that what he says is true when he says he will never abandon and he will never forsake because of the work of our risen Savior? I hope that you have had a glorious Resurrection Sunday and rejoiced in the fact that our Savior is alive today. May we be guided and directed by his word this week. May we find refuge in him and treasure him above all other things. Father, thank you for our time together in your word. We thank you that you have given us this passage of scripture, that you have guided us and directed us. We thank you that you did not abandon your son, Jesus Christ. And you did not let him be corrupted because of his perfection and his power. Death had no hold on him. And now we have eternal life through him. And so help us this week to love you, to trust you, to find refuge in you, to treasure you, to trust your sovereign power over all that's going on in our lives, to lean on you and your guidance and your counsel in our lives. And we pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. I want you to hang around just for a moment, if you would. The last few weeks, we have had a number of different people come on in specials. And if you've joined us live the last couple mornings, my wife has gotten to come on a little bit with us on Sunday mornings. We've had people come in and sing. We've had other people pray. We're going to do more of that in the weeks to come. But we have a couple very special guests this evening. A couple very, very special guests that I think will close out your day in a far better way than I can. I may be a little bit biased, but I hope that you will enjoy a little visit from some special guests this evening. God bless you, and I hope that you have a great week.
Okay.
Beside you, how about that?
Hey, I can see you.
Can you see? I can see you.
Boston Center.
Boston. So, what is today?
Easter.
Easter. And what do we celebrate today on Easter?
On Easter, we celebrate that Jesus rose from the grave.
Well, what do you love about Jesus?
That he gives me a church that I can worship him?
I did not prompt you to that answer, but I'm very impressed by that answer. Do you miss getting to go to Sunday school class and junior church?
Yes.
What do you miss about Sunday school and junior church?
Eating the snacks.
When we get to come back together as a church, what are you going to be most excited about doing?
After church, I love going to Mexico with all the family.
What have you been doing since you've had to stay at home so much?
Playing.
Where have you been playing?
Outside and inside in my bedroom.
Oh, what have you been playing?
Fort and Fort.
Fort and Fort.
Fort. sports all day. The microphone's on, Daddy.
But this is my daughter, and her name is?
Ellie.
What is it?
Ellie.
And she's a whole lot prettier than I am. So we thought you might want to see her with me this evening. Ellie, tell us some stuff that you have been doing while we have been quarantined. While we have been inside because of the virus. Had to stay home because of the virus.
I've been doing not a lot of schoolwork because me and Boston have been playing a lot. And we've been, yesterday me and Boston made a huge train track and put all of his fitting cars, on the train track and all the trains. What I mean by fitting cars is, the cars fitted on there. His monster trucks didn't fit.
Oh, so Ellie, what is today?
Today is Easter.
And what does Easter mean?
Easter means that God rose from the dead 3 days.
After 3 days. Who rose from the dead?
Jesus.
Jesus did. And what does that mean for us?
That means that we are saved.
That we can be saved, right?
What I was going to say was...
What do you miss about being able to come to church here with all the people here and your friends and your teachers?
We were recording that. I really like coloring my coloring page and learning the lesson.
And you know what? Something exciting happened today on the Landmark Kids page on the website. You remember the kids page that we made?
Yeah.
And we had a little lesson on there. And then what else did we put on there this week that you listened to?
Oh, a kid's missionary story.
Yeah, was that pretty neat?
Yeah, it was about an Indian boy.
Yes, okay. So you can go on and listen to that mission story. And guess what else we added this morning? We added...
What was that?
It was a car. We added a Bible lesson from Mr. Drew.
Yeah,
is that
I
pretty
forgot
cool?
that.
Are you gonna, have you watched it yet?
No.
Oh, we need to go on and watch it online.
I forgot all about it.
We should go do that. You can go to lbcrichmond.com/kids and watch Mr. Drew teach a lesson. You know what his lesson's about today?
What?
It's about Paul and Silas. You're going to hear some more about this story from Mr. Drew. And on the website, there is some coloring sheets and some worksheets that are going to go with that lesson, too. Do you think you can color some for me?
I think so, but I keep forgetting.
What?
I keep forgetting to color them.
Oh, well, we'll go color them then.
Maybe you should color them with me.
I will color them with you. You want to go do it right now?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their son. Thrown into the sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, there are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, there are many, his mercy is more. Is that the end of the singing?